will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
Seated and welcome to Harbor of Joy, everyone. Has your 4th of July been long or has it been too short? You can think on that for a while. It sure is different though, isn't it? When you have a holiday on a Friday and you just don't know. I had a hard time yesterday. I thought yesterday was supposed to be Sunday. And here it was Saturday. So good to have everybody here today, and if you are from out of town, a special welcome to you. Glad that you are here, that you have come, and some of you are probably vacationing, who knows, but we're just glad to have you here at Harbor of Joy here in Milford, Iowa as well, and those of you that are on Zoom, we greet you with a 4th of July fireworks. That was all I could do, is like that, but we're glad that you are with us on Zoom as well. Just have a few announcements I want to make today. You did get a bulletin, I believe, as you came in. There's going to be more things in there than what I'm going to say today, but it's there for you to be reminded of and to read about, to take home, and it's a good place to get a magnet and put it on your refrigerator if you can't do much of anything else. But I do want to just say that we're kind of in the midst now of looking at Vacation Bible School. It's going to be, you know, it's planned to be the last week of this month, but guess what? We cannot do it unless we have volunteers in doing it. And so I'm just going to say that next Sunday, we're going to have to know who is going to be doing what, and if we have enough signed up for Vacation Bible School, because if we don't, you give us no choice, or there's no choice that can be made, is we won't be able to have it this year. That's how important it is. And I know a lot of you are retired people, and some of you are just tired people. But we're glad that you can be a part of this in any way that you can. And so you got to sign up out there by the secretary's office on the ledge. You can check that place out. And I believe there's something that, Dina, you got planned here for Thursday?
Oh, yes. On the 10th, we will work on the banners. We're going to cut out pictures from the magazines.
Is that loud?
Oh. Yeah. I just want to add to that, if you're coming in to help do that, we need people to help.
Cut pictures?
Bring your scissor.
Bring a scissor.
Yes.
Okay.
It's at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock on Thursday, if you want to help cut out pictures. We're focusing on the fruits of the Spirit, and so the pictures are going to kind of go along with the fruits of the Spirit, and if you don't know how to connect them, there is someone here who will make that decision for you, just so you know that. So we just need people that can use a scissor and look at pictures. I mean, that's pretty easy to do, I think, you know, and it's a good way just to visit and to talk and go like, oh, here's a picture. Good to have someone to cut that out. So just keep that in mind. And also starting on Tuesday is Grief Share. Anyone that has gone through a loss of a loved one, going to be meeting at 12:30. Richard Mitski. Richard, where are you? There you are. He's going to be leading the Grief Share group. We never know how many is going to be in it, but we'll start this coming Tuesday at 12:30, go till 2 o'clock. Doesn't mean we go to actually till 2 o'clock, does it, Richard? You know, it can be shorter than that, too. But if you're interested in that, or if you know of someone who'd be interested in Grief Share, remind them. Or if there's also a trifold, I think, back by the table, by the PA booth back there, that if you want to know what Grief Share is all about, take one of those with you or give them to someone to say, like, I've been thinking about you. I think this would be helpful for you as you go through a loss of a loved one. And it doesn't matter how many years ago that it has been. It is really an excellent, excellent time to be together. Right, Richard? And Suzanne as well is helping with that. Whenever Richard can't do it, she fills in for him. So keep that in mind. And then there also is from 1 o'clock to 4. Okay, the grief share meets in the fireside room. Those who want to go into water painting with Avis Davis will be in the fellowship room here. And so that's where we will meet. And I just want you to know that this is Avis Davis's last year of doing this. She says she wouldn't mind doing it mentally. It's just physically, she just has a hard time doing it. So it's just once a week. She got one more time after this Tuesday. It'll be the fourth Tuesday of July will be her last time. There will be nothing in August, just so you know that. So if you want to come and be a part of it, she takes anyone. If you've never done it before, great time to come and be a part of that class. And if it wouldn't be for her, your pictures will look terrible. She does her little fancy work, and you look at them and go like, wow. And she goes, you did that. And I go, no, I didn't. You did that. She goes, nope, 95% is it. 95% of it is you, and only 5% of it is me. So, but she does. I looked at mine this morning. Again, I'm going like, man, that really looks good. But it's because of Avis's help that it does. So very well worthwhile to be a part of that if you want to be available and come on this coming Tuesday. We do have Meals on Wheels this coming week. So grateful for those of you that have volunteered to be a part of delivering meals and to different people here in the community. It's always needed. And thankful for those of you taking the time to do that as well. Do want to let you know that there is a ladies' social called Tea on the Titanic. That's enough to keep you away, isn't it? It's called Tea on the Titanic, meeting here at the church, and you can read about it in the bulletin, but you need to sign up just so they kind of know how many to be able to prepare for. That will also be in the fellowship room this coming on the 15th of July, and that's on a Tuesday from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's all I'm going to say today. There are some prayer requests that are in there, and also on the very back of the flyer in your bulletin, very beautiful little picture there on Vacation Bible School. Gives you the names of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, along with a fruit that they go by. But, I mean, that's just, don't always think of the fruit when you think of the fruits of the Spirit, though. It's a wonderful thing that only the Lord can bring into our lives as well. So let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are thankful for those that have come here today to worship you. And Lord, it's also a day of communion that open to anyone and everyone that is here today, a way of just drawing closer to you and allowing you to get close to us as we come and partake of your table and take you, because it's your invitation for all to come who love you. And so we pray that that will take place sometime here this morning. And we're grateful for those that we have on our prayer list, Lord. Grateful for those that have been improving and have gone through some things that are recovering. And still there are some, Lord, that are struggling. And you know all about who they are and what's going on. And we just lift them up to you, Lord, to put them into your hands. Because we know that your hands are the best hands to be in, as well as your hands are able to touch and to heal and to do incredible, amazing things that we do not understand. And sometimes we just say, it's a miracle what God can do. And you still do miracles today. And we're thankful for this. So use all that is said and done today that brings glory to your name, Jesus. And we are grateful for what you have started and what you are doing and what you have done. given as a vision and things ahead for all of us when we have you in our lives and in our hearts. So thank you for this morning, for all that are here, as well as watching by Zoom. In your name we pray. Amen. Our call to worship this morning.
Yo. Can I introduce Mark and Barbie from the conference?
Only if they want to be.
Mark and Barbie Schwartz is here today, and he is the new director of the Bible Conference. Mark and Barbie, will you please stand so we can see you? Tuesday night of the Bible Conference, they've asked Harbor of Joy to serve pie and ice cream. We don't have to make the pies or the ice cream. We just need 6 people to gather about 6:45 to cut the pies, and then we need those 6 people afterwards to serve the ice cream and the pie. So if you are willing to do that, let me know. Mm-hmm. That's Tuesday night on the...
August 5th.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, I think I saw Mark. Do you run? Mark, do you run in the morning? No, I thought I saw a guy look just like you running yesterday.
I'm running
for her. Oh, that's why she had a frying pan running after you. I don't know. I'm sorry. It wasn't you. I think that was Mark. But I didn't stop because there's too much traffic there. Well, welcome to Harbor of Joy, and I apologize for Karen to make you stand up and all of that kind of stuff, but glad that you are here with us today. Like I was starting to say before I heard this cry over here by the piano, the call to worship is from Psalm 66, verses 16 through 20, and you find it says this: "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing.
remembered I forgot something, which is not unusual. Just like to thank all the veterans who are here today, who have served our country, and for those of you that have been touched by the freedoms that we are given and have been granted, and because of their duty, that just want to say thank you for your service. You want to just quickly stand if you are a veteran that is here today. Just want to acknowledge you, see who you are. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. I remember Chuck Tilber's not here anymore, but he was our Marine. And he was a very faithful guy, very patriotic guy too. So thanks for your service, guys and ladies. We'll continue on with our service here. It's a brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to just take some time in silence where you can let this take place and happen in your life and in your heart this morning, of just you and the Lord. He already knows what you're going to say. He already knows the sins you've done. He knows you need forgiveness. He knows that you're carrying guilt probably with you today, but he's the only one that can take that guilt away as he forgives you and to empower you to live for him today and the days ahead. So let's just take some time and you just talk to the Lord. He understands you better than you understand yourself. And let's just do that right now, shall we? Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. Standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing on
the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you, Praise Band, very much for leading us to worship the Lord this morning. And I just thought of something else. On Memorial Day, I met someone who was a part of Space Force. Anybody here serve on Space Force? See? So I thought, no one. I've never met anyone on Space Force. It's a new branch of the military. There's someone who lives in Spirit Lake who is actively serving on Space Force, and his family has moved up here and they're going to school. But he travels around. I started asking a lot of questions about Space Force because I'm just kind of an inquisitive kind of a guy, and he said, I can't tell you that. I can't reveal that to you. And I'm going, well, just tell me where you go. I'll have to shoot you if I tell you where I go. It's a very secretive, apparently, branch of the military, Space Force. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Let us stand as we hear God's word this morning. I'm just using a bite out of the text that's here. It's found in Luke chapter 10, and I'm just doing the first four verses. There's a lot more that goes to this whole thing. I'm just going to do the first four verses because it's Communion Sunday. That means, I'm not going to say it because I always lie. When I say it's going to be a shorter message, it never is. But here's what it says. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, and I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Stop there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you've given to us. They're eternal words. They're words of truth. They're words that are very helpful for even us here today. Bring them to life, Lord, for us, that we know that your Holy Spirit is revealing to us the truth and what is needed to be heard and for us to apply in our own hearts and our own lives as well. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you give to us to focus on your word. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember from a few Sundays ago, and even last Sunday, this is something new for me too, but Jesus wasn't always accepted by others. Did you know that? I've never seen that before. But we've looked at a couple of other texts along the past Sundays where we see that Jesus is actually told to actually get out of here. Leave our place. Get out of here. We have nothing to do with you. Remember that? And now, right before our text here today that I read, he stops at a Samaritan's village. And once these people found out that Jesus was not going to stay in that village, but he was dead set to focus on going to Jerusalem, the Samaritans, when they found that out, they said, okay, then just, we don't even want you to stay in our village, just keep going. Just go. They didn't want anything to do with them because Samaritans had their own place of worshiping God on a mount, Mount Gerizim. Shiloh would be probably a name that you would remember more, but that was a city where people were, but that's where the Samaritans worshiped God. Jesus was going to where Abraham was told to go by God, to Mount Moriah, to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. And Mount Moriah is where the Temple Mount is today in Jerusalem. It is where the first temple of the Jews was built by Solomon. That temple was torn down by the Babylonians in 586. And when the Jews came back from Persia, which is Iran and Iraq area, a few came back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and also to rebuild the temple. It said that the people, when they saw the temple that they built, the older people cried because it was such a, it just wasn't like the first one. It was so small. But that's what they were given, like given a second chance to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild. And it was the King Cyrus from Persia who allowed them to go back to rebuild it. And it was not an easy thing for them to do. They had enemies that tried to keep them from building that temple as well. So at any rate, that temple then was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. Titus was a general of the Roman Empire who came and destroyed that temple. And there's never been a temple rebuilt since then. Today, that's why you see the Dome of the Rock. That's where you get Muhammad and Islam and all that kind of a thing going on there. And you get three different world religions that claim Jerusalem as the holy spot of the world, the holy place. It's going to be the Jews, it's going to be Christianity, and it's going to be Islam. They all see Jerusalem as a sacred place. So that's just no extra charge for that. Just want to give you a little bit of history there and where things are at. But remember, one of the things that Jesus said last week, he said this to the Samaritans. He ended up leaving that village. I told him to get out of there. And he said, well, I'll just go to another village in Samaria. But he did say this to the people on the way on the road there, who were following him. He said, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. Whoever does that is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And I believe, if you remember right, I said, you know, growing up on a farm, if you want to have a straight row, what do you look at? You just look ahead. You pick something out on the horizon. You just aim for that spot there. You never look back. Because as soon as you start looking back, you're going to go, whoop, whoop. It's not going to be a straight row. So in our case, it was 1 mile. We had fields that were 1 mile long. And so once you started 1 mile away, you looked for something on the horizon, and you just focused on that one spot, and you go like, it took forever to get there. But when you got to the end, then you'd look back and you'd go like straight as an arrow. The second round was not as straight as the first round because you kept looking back. You're going to the right spot. But that's what Jesus says to his followers. Don't look back. Look forward. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's thinking about Jerusalem. His mind is focused on going to Jerusalem, but what awaits him there? It's the cross. It's betrayal. It's flogging. It's being nailed to a cross. It's being spit on. It's being slapped. It's being punched in the face. That's what awaits him. But he goes there. Why? Because he loves you and me. Just as he loved everybody at that time. It was the only way that salvation can come to people is for him to go to the cross and to rise again. So he sends out 72. In some manuscripts, it says 70. So somebody goes like, how come you said 72? In my Bible, it says 70. That's just because of different manuscripts that were being used. So I'm just using 72 because that's what it says in my Bible. He sent them out two by two, which is interesting, two by two. Do you know in North Dakota, it's probably in other places, but there is a cult people who are known as the two by twos. Anybody heard of those? Two by twos. They do not believe in what we call organized religion. They do not have a pastor. They just meet at somebody's place. And I don't know what they do there, but that's how they meet. They don't go to church. I don't think they give an offering of any kind either. But they're called two by twos. Just kind of an interesting little thing there. Jesus sends two people out. Why? He sends two followers out, two disciples out together. Why? Because it's harder to run away from what you're going to be doing. We used to call this canvassing. Remember that word? You go to places and towns, different places, and they would send you out by two to go knock on doors and introduce yourself to the people, those that would open the door. You'd introduce who you are and where you're from and what you're kind of promoting. And sometimes they would slam the door in your face. Sometimes they would not answer. You know somebody was in there because you could hear the TV on. But maybe they couldn't hear. I don't know. But it's the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. I just volunteered to do it because I know that this is what Jesus did in the Bible. And I go like, well, I'm just a young Christian. I'm just going to do this and see what happens. And I found out that it's not an easy thing to do. I was thankful to the Lord that I would run into people who would invite me into their house or apartment, and they would tell me what church they're a part of, and they were so glad that I was out doing this. I'm going like, well, I really don't want to leave. I just want to stay here and visit with you guys. But they just really appreciated what we were doing, and they probably would not even come to the church because there was something that they were planning on hosting and inviting the public into it to be, and that's kind of how you started churches way back then, or meeting your neighbors, canvassing. And that's what Jesus is doing here by sending out the 72, going to different places that he was going to be at, different towns, different villages, and he tells them some things. He tells them three things. First thing he says is that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That is a great verse for any missionary gathering, isn't it? I've heard it at different mission conferences, this verse. And they're hoping that there'll be someone who's there in the audience that will answer God's call to go wherever God wants this person or this couple or this family to go. It's not always Africa. It's not always Malaysia. It's not always Eastern Europe. It's not always South America. Sometimes it's Japan. Sometimes it's Taiwan. Sometimes it is Africa. Different countries. And they would use that as their focus. The harvest is plentiful. It's like the harvest is there. There are people waiting and wanting to hear the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation, that there is forgiveness of sin. You can know God personally. It's not somebody out there somewhere who's just wandering around and you don't know the person. He doesn't want to know you. It's false. He wants to know you personally. And he has a plan for you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Can that go for even the church here in Milford, Harbor of Joy? The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. I've been here 6 years. That means I'm 6 years older, and so are all of you. What's the next 6 years going to look like? We don't know. All I know is that we've lost people through death in the past 6 years. People who once volunteered for things to do have died. Or people say, I can't do it anymore. I used to love doing it. I wish I could. I can't do it anymore. What's going to happen to us? What's the future for Harbor of Joy? I don't know if you noticed it, but when we prayed the prayer for brief confession of prayer here today, did you hear how quiet it was? There was no sounds of kids. It was quiet. That's not a good thing. It either means everyone is sleeping or we're not growing with youth or young people. So Jesus goes on and says, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, but then he says this, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Wonderful! Lambs are always gentle. Wolves are some that want to eat you for lunch, don't they? You're just a lamb chop to them. And there are people out there who could care less and do not want to hear any message about Jesus Christ. Remember when Billy Graham was alive, he'd have a crusade on TV? How many people do you think turned off their TV once they saw it was him speaking at a crusade? It happened. I don't know how often, but it happened in our house. I wanted to hear the guy. I wanted to just know more about him. At that time, I was just a young whippersnapper. You will go as lambs among wolves. Wolves are aggressive and dangerous. They will tear you apart. Wolves like to hunt in packs. If you didn't know that. A lamb is defenseless against any wolf, even if it's one-on-one. But Jesus says, I'm sending you out among wolves. Wonderful. Just what I wanted to hear. But that's not all. He says, keep your eyes on the mission. Be determined in who you are doing this for. Are you going out for yourself, or are you going out for me, who's Jesus? That's very important. Why are you doing this? You doing it for the Lord, or are you doing it just for yourself? We're to depend entirely on Jesus. No credit cards, no wallets, no purses, no backpacks, no sandals, no hiking boots, no shoes of any kind. He just says, go. Depend on Him for everything. If someone invites you into their house, you just say peace to you, and you eat whatever is given, set before you, whatever room they're given to sleep or lay down. I think we'd want to know that before we would go anywhere, wouldn't we? But Jesus says, no, depend completely on what I am telling you to do. Do not try to do this in your own strength. It'll never work. He says, don't even greet anyone on the road. Can you imagine him saying that? There are cultures, even today, they love to just visit and talk. If they see you on the road, if they stop by your house or hut or wherever you're living, I hear this from missionaries. People like to just talk about what's going on with the family. You know, they don't want to get into the business right then and there. They got to talk about all these different things of how you're doing it. The family good? The wife okay? The children all doing all right? And then you have to ask them back how their kids are and what their wife is doing and all of these kinds of things. It's a cultural thing. If you want to go like, no, I want to forget all that stuff and go right to why we're here, we're wanting to bring Jesus Christ to your village and to you, no, that will never work. You have to first become like them and understand them, the way they do things. It's not for you to make an American out of someone else from a different culture first. A story that I think of about that is, you've heard about people making going to drill wells for the villages in Africa. They like churches back here in America to provide the funding so that you can drill a well so they have clean drinking water. Otherwise, they drink out of pools in the ditches or a low spot. It can be where there's animal feces in it. It can be parasites in it. But that's what they do. They drink. That's how they get their water. And many of them die. Kids die of parasites, diarrhea. On it goes. I heard from one person from Africa who said, "We love your wells, but it changes their whole community. They're used to walking, especially the women, we're used to walking to get water together and to bring it back to their homes. But as they're walking, guess what they're doing? They're finding out about one another's families. With the well, you don't have that anymore. You just go to the well, get your water, and you go back home. There's no time to talk and to visit with each other. And so they said, like, you know, we're having a lot of difficulties here in our community because the well is the problem. People are not getting to know one another or enjoying that visiting time that they used to have together. And we're like, well, it's clean water. It's all that matters, isn't it? No. It's the culture. So depend entirely on Jesus. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the message that they're to give when they see people is what? Simple message. It's not difficult. The message is this: the kingdom of God is near you. That's the message. The kingdom of God is near. It's not difficult. It's not hard. They might ask questions about that, and then that gives you the opportunity to tell them in answering those questions. Because a person who hears what you have to say to them, they're actually listening to the words of Jesus Christ. The words you say is going to be heard as if Jesus was telling them. The kingdom of God is near. The person who rejects that word rejects the one who gave the word. It means that they reject Jesus. And if they reject Jesus, they also reject God, who is the sender of Jesus. He's the one who sent his only son to us to give us this good news. So when all of these 72 came back, they were excited and they were joyful and they were all talking about that. Even the spirits of demons listened to us. They submitted to us because we used the name of Jesus. And they were all talking about the things that they had learned. To me, it's a lot like a Wednesday night fellowship that we have here when Patty Griffiths comes back from Tanzania. She shows pictures and she tells us the things that God has done and how he's shown himself in different ways over there to this one little place. And we rejoice in that. We go like, wow, only God can do this. But God's doing this in a lot of different places around the world. And even here, in this area. It's joyful, but yet Jesus then says to these returning disciples who are coming back to a big party and really enjoying themselves, and Jesus says this to them. It's kind of where he kind of pours cold water on their fire. Jesus says to them, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Wow. A lot of good things going on, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Know that you have been a part of what God can do, and you're going to be with him because your name is written in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. You find that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How does it get written there? By believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The moment you believe by faith, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I remember as a youth pastor, one of the little skits that we did together was some kids were to come up and talk about how they did a lot of good things for God in their lives. And then they'd ask an angel who's there with the Lamb's Book of Life, and they'd go like, "I know my name's written in there. See if it's there." And the angel would kind of go through the pages, you know, just kind of go through the form of going through the pages and looking down, and he goes like, "Well, I don't see your name there." And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, guess what? You go to a different place, which isn't heaven. That's how important your name is to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's there by faith, because we believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us. So I just ask you today, are you rejoicing that you're here? For one thing, because why are you here? You can rejoice in knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. Do you know what that means? That following the service today should be a lot of joy and rejoicing going on with one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. There's a lot more that could be said, but this is enough for today. We know that your word goes forth and never comes back void. It's useful. May your word continue to work in the hearts and through the ears that are able to hear your word today and to do what only you can do when it comes to saving us from our sin. Thank you for listening ears and listening hearts. Thank you for people willing to go forward, willing to go to places where they don't know what they're going to find, but they do know what the message is that they need to give to those who will listen and hear. Thank you that there are people even here this morning that are doing these kinds of things by faith. And they don't have to be old, they don't have to be retired, but they can have young kids. The kids can do this at Bible camps. People of all ages can know these words that the kingdom of God is near. Are you ready? Do you know him? Do you want to know him? May we be receivers of your word by faith. So may we pray. These things together in our own places where we sit and be mindful of what we've heard today in the days ahead. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we will recite the Apostles' Creed together. You should see it on the monitor. And just remember that first word. It says, I. It's not we. It's what I, it's personal to you today, what we say here. Let's say it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I know that there's some of you that are here today that don't really know how we do communion here. I just want you to feel comfortable and understand what will happen here. There will be an usher. Jack, you'll be the guy. So if he gives you the nod, that means you can come up front and take communion at any time. And it's for anyone and everyone. You don't have to be a member of Harbor of Joy to take communion. It's an open communion. You can come up to the first. This is the first, what do you call this place? Station, there you go, station. The first station you come, you'll receive the sacrament. Put your cup in the basket here, and you can go back and sit down. If you want to come up to the altar and kneel, even if you can't kneel, if you want to go up there and stand, and receive communion, you can, and you can pray up there if you want to. You can stay there as long as you want, okay? If some of you would like communion and you just can't walk anymore, or it's very tough to walk up front, we'll come to you and serve you where you're at. Just don't want you to feel that we don't care about you. So just keep that in mind when it comes. I think, okay, if you don't want wine, just hold your hand like this. And the servers will know what that means. That means you have grape juice instead. Other than that, I think it's all pretty much self-explanatory. I'm going to ask the servers to come up. I think it's Al and Patty that we had station one. And then Angela and I will be up by the altar for station two. And before we start, let's just go over why we do this. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, what happened? He took bread. Yeah. He took bread. And he said to his disciples, they're up in the upper room. Jesus took bread, doesn't look like this, but it was bread. And he broke it. And he said to his disciples, take, eat all of this. This is my body given for you. This is first time they ever heard it. This is his body. Ufta. They probably didn't say that word. And then he took the cup. And after he had given thanks to the Father, he told them that this is his blood. And it's a wonderful covenant that he gives to you and to me through receiving his blood to take away our sins. He says, drink all of it for your sins to be forgiven. I don't understand all of that, what that means. I just do it because Jesus said it. And whatever he says, it's true. Drink all of it. And we're to do this until he comes again. So with that, well, here you are. Come up here if you can. And then Jack, you can dismiss people to come if they'd like to come. Go to either station that you'd like to go to.
Change my heart, oh God.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. I don't know.